All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, trying to get connected with our buddy Reggie Merriweather. We got the entire hour, so because at the top of the 6 p.m. hour, we got Gary McDaniel from ClemsonSportsNews.com. You know, Sheree Taylor from Magic 98.9 has been talking smack to us all day back here, Diesel. You know, because management's not around, I guess everybody wants to play a little bit. You know, I tried to get J.C. Sherbert on today from the Big Spur. Even called him sitting in my recliner last night. So I hope he's traveling today. Because it's been a lot more difficult to get my South Carolina buddies on this week as well. But, Will Muschamp met with the media earlier today. And, you know, he said what happened up here a couple of years ago in this rivalry game was simply unacceptable. And he feels like his team is in a much better place right now to come up and compete. And, yeah, you better be thinking that. You know what I mean? And number two, they are. You know, here's the thing. South Carolina's had – you know, pretty good month on the offensive side of the football. Now, the one thing that Clemson has been doing right now that has really helped them is not settling for field goals. Yeah. And that's been one strength of South Carolina's defense right now is they've been able to limit people that are driving to a field goal. Yeah. So
a little bend but don't break there kind of action.
A little bit of bend but don't break. But speaking of breaking, we remember big runs against South Carolina back in the day. It's our buddy Reggie Merriweather, the pride of North Augusta, South Carolina, and now the current sideline reporter for the Clemson Sports Network. Reggie, I hope you're having a good day. Happy Thanksgiving week, my friend.
Man, Sturge, thanks for having me on again, man, and happy Thanksgiving to you and the crew. And, yeah, it's been a blessed week so far. I'll take it off of work the rest of the week, so it's really good.
Well, we're in here, and you're going to – you don't know this, but you got roped in today for not one but two different reasons. We'll get to that with Kevin Thomas here in a second. But let's talk about this Clemson program. Looking to go 12-0, only the fourth time in team history they've ever made it to 11-0. And, Reggie, you're right there. You've got your finger on the pulse of this program. From the outside looking in, are the coaches not having to do as much – say coaching or you know what I mean? You're getting a lot of senior leadership out of these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you think about the whole gist of things and what they've got going. You think about this program 10 years ago when Dabo took over, and I explained to a lot of people too. I said, man, Dabo's one of those guys. He's going to recruit hard. He's going to get the guys that he wants, and he's going to build those guys up, and not only to help them, you know, graduate, be better people, but also they're going to have a chance to play in the NFL and be great football players as well. So I think that goes a long way when you talk about the program as a whole from what it used to be and how that's attributed to the success that they've had. And the second thing is, I mean, you look at all the games that they've played the last few years, and especially this year, whether it's been a 20-point win or a 50-point win, the coaches are still coaching, mm-hmm. guys are still playing hard, and that shows in the film. And you can't coach effort. I say that all the time. I said, man, you can teach a guy to hit the hole, but, I mean, you can't tell him to give 100%. You can't coach him to give 110% every time. And that's kind of one of the things you look for in the film, too, man. You've got third and fourth string guys in that are hungry and are ready to play. And no matter what the score is, these guys are coached well, and the coaches are still out there coaching hard, and they're out there trying to get these guys prep for 12-0 season, and they play like it every week.
So let me ask you this. I mean, we will hear coach speak because, number one, a coach should absolutely have in his team's mind, you can get beat this weekend if you don't take care of what you're supposed to take care of. But we hear, treat it like another game. You've been up there on top of the hill waiting to come in the valley versus South Carolina. Be honest, as a player, is it just another game or is there a larger adrenaline rush before kickoff?
Well, I tell you, man, it's quite a large adrenaline rush. And, you know, I tell people, if you're not from the state of South Carolina, you know, you really don't appreciate the rivalry. But like I said, these guys are all in. I think Dabo has done a really good job, and the coach staff has done a really good job. My second goal is for the team. So during the offseason, the hot summer days, the spring workouts, they have these goals that set before them, and they say, hey, this is what we're training for, all right? This is the fourth quarter of the season. This is the last game in the regular season. And then this is another goal that we've set before ourselves to win the state championship. And this is, like you said, this is a game that has not lost any luster over the years. for sure, no matter where you're from. And, you know, once Dabo has put those goals out in front of those guys, they're so goal-oriented now and they're so focused that, yeah, it's just not another game. It's a little bit added emotion to this, but this is one of the goals for the season. Finish the season undefeated, win the state championship, then go win a division outright. So this is another one of the goals that they do check off the list.
Reggie, I got to ask you here. It's Kevin Thomas here. As a, you know, the pride of North Augusta, Yellow Jackets got a big matchup against Hartsville this weekend in the playoffs. They're going to have to take it against the Red Foxes, you think?
Well, I tell you what, man, they've got some good coaches there this year, and they've got some guys too, man. They got some goons on that football team. And like I said, man, they're talented. They're talented up front as well, and they got some skill guys. So I hope they can do it. I hope they can pull it out, man. And if they do, I will be there cheering them on in the championship for sure.
I appreciate you. So my uncle's actually the head coach there, so I had to ask you that. But I'll tell you what, man, they got some players for sure. I think they're going to have a good chance this weekend against Hartsville. We'll see, though.
Yeah, yeah. I wish them the best of luck, man. And it says, you know, we talk about hometown team, man. They've done a lot of with the coaching staff there, and they've done a lot with those kids. And like you said, if they win this one, that'll go a long way for the school and just the city as well.
As we're on with Clemson sideline reporter Reggie Merriweather. Reggie, what advice can you give to an incoming freshman in this rivalry on either side, on the Clemson or South Carolina side, to keep them calm down for this matchup? Because it's a big deal the first time you play in it.
Well, I don't know if I can give him any advice to calm him down, but, you know, just enjoy it, you know. It's kind of one of those things, again, you know, when you talk to people that have not played in that game and the fans get juiced up for it. I mean, the fans are probably more amped than the players are.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, that goes a long way, too, because you're going to have a ton of scouts there. You're going to have a lot of people there, probably a couple of bowl representatives as well. So you want to play one of the best games that you've ever played, but at the same time too, man, you want to represent your family, your city, you know, your school with courage, with honor, with respect, and you want to leave a mark. And like I said, it's kind of one of those things. You're either recruited by South Carolina or you're recruited by Clemson, you know. And it's one of those things. If you weren't recruited by both of them at the same time, then you know you'll have your chance to prove it to the coaching staff why you should have been. So you know, just gotta go out there and play your best game. Don't let the emotions get a hold of you. And like I said, we've seen some pretty heated games in the past, but I think it's calmed down over the last few years with this being almost five in a row for this will be five in a row for Clemson if they're able to win it.
So Reggie, as we continue with Reggie Merriweather, former Clemson running back, current Clemson sideline reporter. Listen, you played it was a deep pool of running backs, you know, but. Come on, talk about the talent that you see with this four deep group of Lynn J. Dixon coming in as number four. And then, of course, Tavian Feaster and Travis Etienne. And, oh, yeah, there happens to be a guy by the name of Adam Choice. Have you seen anything like this before?
No. I said, man, this is probably the best backfield that they've ever had at Clemson. I know with when I was there with CJ and James, I thought we were pretty good with Kyle Browning as well. And Dwayne Coleman, I thought we were pretty good backfield. But man, these guys—they've got a three guys back there now that could take it at any point in time in the game, 80, 90 yards. So you know, and Travis Etienne, I mean, just like Dixon too, man. He's gonna get in the weight room. He's gonna learn to run between the tackles, get behind those pads a little bit better. But he's a fast, shifty guy. And man, Travis Etienne, you can't say enough about the kid, man. He's one gear and one gear only. So you know, a lot of times you'll see him, you know. Break through the hole, get to the second level, and he's gone. So, you know, if you're not watching film on him, like I said, man, if you're not watching film on him, you're not doing yourself justice. I think a lot of teams, too, man, tried to stack the box on us, and Trevor Lawrence has been able to beat him with their arm. So it's kind of pick your poison, you know, whether it's with the throw game or the run game. But, man, this is the best backfield that Clemson has had. Oh, man. It's probably been decades.
Yep.
They all complement each other as well too. So Adam Choice is my favorite. He's the between the tackles guy, and he's got a little fight to him. He's got some meat to him. So he's about 225, and he's going to bring the thunder every time he comes through the hole. But you know, all these guys complement each other, and like you said, you've got a three headed monster there with Feaster, Choice, and Etienne, and then Dixon. He's going to be very good for us next year as well.
Now, Reggie, have you ever had anybody in this current stable of running backs or any running back that came after you come up to you and say, hey, man, I grew up watching you back in the day. I idolized you. Has that ever happened?
One time. That's actually happened one time. But I tell these guys all the time, I said, man, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you idolize somebody, but I always tell the kids and say, man, you know, don't try to be like me, be better than me. And the simple fact is, you know, the game is always growing and evolving. You know, I came from a pretty much power eye set where we used to run the ball, use fullbacks and all that type of stuff. Then when Rob Spence came in, I had to learn to run the zone and all that good stuff. So you got to have a large repertoire of just skill sets when you talk about going to the next level, making yourself more marketable, that type of stuff. So I always tell the guys, man, aim higher than your idols. And then one day when you get a chance to meet them, you can say, hey, man, I'm better than you, you know. So it's kind of one of those cool things that they can say when they meet their idol.
Well, listen, we're proud of you. I want to be better than you, but how the heck are you not down in the Cayman Islands? You know, that should have been a family retreat for football and basketball broadcasters alike. You know, it's just not fair. Don Munson and Tim Bure are coming back into this Clemson South Carolina game this weekend with a suntan.
I tell you what, a little jealous. I saw a picture of Don Munson on his Instagram earlier, man. It was on the white sandy beaches, and it looked like it was sunny and about 85 degrees out there. So a little jealous. Yeah, a little jealous. But, man, those guys, they have to endure the basketball. I don't think I can sit through a whole basketball game without getting antsy. But, yeah, we've had a good broadcasting crew, man. And I appreciate JMI for having me on again this year. And it's just been an awesome experience, too.
Well, you've done a great job. Thanks for everything. I hope you and your family have a great Thanksgiving. And also, best of luck not only to North Augusta on Friday night, but your Clemson Tigers on Saturday as well.
Yes, sir. Awesome. Thanks for having me on again, man. Y'all have a happy Thanksgiving as well.
All right. Thank you very much. Reggie Merriweather and just a good guy. All right. So here's the deal. We've got open phone lines for the rest of the hour. You can get in with us about the rivalry. Who is your favorite rivalry? Or, you know what? Where has time gone? We are down to the final weekend of the regular season. Now, I get the fact December 1st has had some games placed on that day due to Hurricane Florence back. I mean, think about Marshall. They just signed a contract with Virginia Tech based on what Virginia Tech does this weekend. If Virginia Tech loses to Virginia, they will not be not be bowl eligible for the first time in, 27 years. But if they do beat the Cavaliers, then they've got Marshall coming in next week for a chance to get bowl eligible. When we come back, we'll talk about all this. It's open phones, and guess what? I ain't eating no salad this week. We'll tell you why.
You know, Sturge, if the University of Central Florida fan base could be compressed down into a single caller, into a single personality, it would have to be our next caller. Zach Brown on the line. Zach Brown, what's on your mind today?
Wait a minute, I'm not a Central Florida fan. I don't even understand.
I know you're not a Central Florida fan, but you run your mouth like one, and that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, well, look, it's not my problem that you got Casper the Friendly Ghost on the mic with you today. So, look, here's the deal. I'm going to tell you what. Hey, Kevin. I'm going to tell you what.
Hey,
this is the deal, man, with last night. You look at this game at 105 points. I love that Vegas lost, quote, into the seven figures. Love it.
The end of the third quarter.
This is a product of the current NFL that we are in today. Yeah, it's great, and I'm sure they're going to do a huge rating share on that. But the fact that, and I'm telling you, it boils down to me for one series last night, and I don't know if you stayed up late to watch the game. I did because I came back and won in my fantasy league, but whatever. At the end of the game, when L.A. got the ball back with less than 2 minutes to go and three straight passes with less than a minute to go, no timeout.
Yeah.
And looked to take the time. They were like, look, if you come in and touch our quarterback, we're going to get automatic first down, game's over. We're going to play that you are going to get your whatever, 15th, 16th, you know, penalty of the game. I mean, Christ, Kansas City had 9 in the first quarter, you know, or whatever it was. So they're just playing. There's no fear. They can just do whatever they want to do. They're going to just throw it around the yard and go, hey, throw the flag or come in and touch my quarterback. And that one series, to me, spells out what is the long-term problem, I think, for the NFL from what we all love the NFL used to be.
Zach, I mean, do the numbers, and you're 100% correct, which, by the way, blows Diesel's theory, what he was saying, because this is the smartest, most articulate phone call that we've ever gotten from you. But do the math. You get the ball back with, what, 1:40 left on the clock. They've got the opposing team only has two timeouts left. Even if you have to give the ball back, you should only do so with 30, 40 seconds left on the clock. They managed to punt the ball 31 seconds later after they got it because they were throwing it. And I get trying to be aggressive and that's your identity, but sometimes you got to play not only the opposition on the other side of the line of scrimmage, but the clock itself.
Well, and you're you make a very valid point. I mean, I looked at my wife and I was like, "Are you kidding me? They're going to throw the ball on first down. Not to mention you complete it for a junk play and he gets out of bounds. Then the second pass you throw an incomplete pass.
Exactly.
You stop the clock for them. You got to be kidding me." Yeah. And I love Sean McVay and I love what he brings and the passion, the intensity. You know, he reminds me a lot of Mark Hendricks, how he, inspires his employees and things like that.
Oh,
but it's just, he's
not here today.
I don't understand what the problem is I don't have the stats here. How many flags did Kansas City have last night?
They were on pace for 40 at one point. I know the 105 right. combined points was the third most in NFL history. So I don't have Kevin's looking up the number of flags, but you know what? It feels like Big 12 football has hit the NFL.
Well, and that's the thing. There's no fear.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care. I mean, a couple of those, that one that they called with the rough and the passer was absolutely horrid. Absolutely horrid that they called on the Rams. And I was like, man, come on.
All right. On the flip side of that, go ahead.
21 total penalties, 8 for the Rams and 13
for
the Chiefs.
So they let
him
play
there.
A little bit there at the end. Now, one of the things that we're getting into here in this hour and the rest of the show, Zach, is most disappointing things in college football, because it's hard to believe we are down to the final week of the regular season. And I'm not trying to pick on you, but I made a list. And you know what? Miami and the ability to not take advantage of what should be a top 10 defense will go down as one of the biggest disappointments. See, even coming back from that LSU loss in the opener, the Canes found themselves at 5-1 and just couldn't get over the hump.
I told you guys this last year. I think last year was the year that we should have had this year, and this year is the year that we should have had last year.
Okay.
I think next year it'll even out. Started out too hot last year, and then this year you came in and you didn't fix any of the real issues, in my opinion, on offense. You know, you got Nakosi Perry, and he's going to be good, but the kid's like 12 years old, for Christ's sake. So, I mean, they're gonna be good, but the years were flip flop,
right.
And that's okay. I'll tell you this right now: the number one thing that makes me sad about this season will be that UCF is not going to get a chance to play in the playoffs.
Well, we're going to talk about that. Thanks for getting with us tomorrow before Turkey Day. Thanks as always, Zach. So,
Serge, the pundits are going to rank. They're going to, this is the year that Miami's going to be back. That's the conversation that's going to happen.
They're always back, right?
Every year is going to be the year that they come back, and it's never the year that they come back. Sorry, Zach.
So what? What's the old saying? If you have two quarterbacks, you actually have
none.
Right. And I didn't get why Coach Mark Richt kind of wavered back and forth between Malik Rozier and Nakosi Perry, because in doing so, the offense just averaged under 16 points a game. And that's unacceptable for Miami Hurricane football. But they had a good defense. They got themselves to bowl eligibility with a win at Virginia Tech this week. But, that's a team that started off number 8 to begin the year and somewhere in that neighborhood. And even coming back from that LSU loss to open up the season, getting back to 5-1 Miami, and this isn't pick on Zach. I've got a list of things here. Miami's got to be one of my bigger disappointments in college football this season.
Yeah, it's got to be frustrating because they've got athletes, not just on defense, but at the skill positions. The running backs are good. The tight ends are good. The receivers are good. Got to find a quarterback, man. Rozier's no good. I thought Perry was decent a few times I saw him, but, like you said, they kind of waffled back and forth. That team, being the record they are, that's unacceptable, really. I mean, they've got enough athletes. They ought to win eight, nine, 10 games a year, if not more than that.
You know, another one of my disappointments is I thought that Jimbo Fisher and the Seminoles melded in last year. I think he finally figured out, I'm out of here. You know, you'd heard all the chatter about what had happened with his wife and her trainer, who happens to be a former Florida Gator football player. And, you know, it wore on him, and he wanted out. So I thought just subtraction by – would be addition for Florida State this year. And Willie Taggart coming in. And to their credit, they didn't quit last week. They got a win over Boston College. Now that sets up an in-state rivalry game between Florida and Florida State. And don't look now, Florida State still has a chance to become bowl eligible if they can knock off the Gators this weekend. But I think Willie Taggart and just some of the uncompetitiveness of the Florida State Seminoles. Clemson is obviously a good football team. I don't care where Clemson is in their hierarchy of their football career. Florida State shouldn't be beaten by Clemson, Alabama, or anybody else 59-10 at home.
No, that's another one, like you said, just the same thing as Miami. I mean, they've got so many athletes down there, you can't be that bad. Like, it makes zero sense how they can be that bad.
So, you know, and the thing is he's got to figure out what he wants to do because we don't know who's calling plays right now for Florida State. Same thing that kind of went on with Southern Cal with Clay Helton taking away play-calling abilities from T. Martin. So that's usually not a good sign when the coach during the year starts going, hey, man, I'm calling the plays. Let's get to Tony before we get out to break. Tony, I hope you're having a good afternoon.
Doing great, Sturge. You guys are kind of confusing me a little bit. One minute I'm hearing what's wrong with the NFL with all the points being scored, and the next minute I know you jumped to college with the Miami Hurricanes averaging 16 points a game, and that's their problem. I think personally a couple of years ago that the NFL saw a dip in ratings, and they made it offensive friendly to where defensive backs, who are certainly bigger, faster, and stronger than they've ever been in the history of the game, have made it, again, so offensive friendly that you're going to see games like you saw last night with the Rams and the Chiefs when you have three, four potential MVPs on the field with Aaron Donald, maybe a defensive, certainly defensive MVP. Todd Gurley, you know, Jared Goff may have gotten himself into the conversation, but certainly Pat Mahomes is probably the leader for the MVP in the league right now. But again, I guess the pulse of the radio world, what would be a perfect scenario for you guys? The NFL is loving these points right now. I'm telling you, go ahead.
I was going to say Monday Night Football ratings last night were the highest since 2014. And Tony, I agree with you. I think what the NFL has effectively done right now is confuse players on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, Clay Matthews got a couple of targeting and roughing the passer calls earlier this year that nobody could really put their finger on what was the penalty on it. So, you know, it used to be aggressive. Now I think defensive coordinators almost look at their players and say, at times, err on the side of caution.
And that's how you get hurt. And you mentioned that. I did the drive. I forget who Green Bay was playing, but Clay Matthews was certainly not a roughing the passer penalty on third down, costing the game. Mason Crosby missing five field goals 1 week. So, I mean, Green Bay's a couple of plays away from having three more wins, to your example. But I think – you know, certainly for fantasy purposes, I think we all have fantasy teams now. Vegas got busted last night with the over, and I think everyone, you know, enjoyed that. And it was – you could obviously see it coming. And to the credit of both defenses a little bit, you had two Ram defensive scores and you had a Kansas City defensive score. So, I mean, the points were coming from every angle possible. So, I think it's fine is my point where it is. And you mentioned Big 12 is basically the offenses are in the NFL now. Drew Brees can't be stopped. If you don't get on to these new young coaches that can get players in space, Andy Reid's made an adjustment. But you look at some of the older coaches that have not adjusted, and I'm sorry, Ron Rivera's got Christian McCaffrey, and you get him in space, and he's deadly, but he hasn't made an adjustment with, well, DJ Moore's going to be really, really well. Devin Funchess is a go-route type of runner. So to me, the Panthers haven't gotten on board with an Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram type guy. I think the NFL is securing itself for the future. Not only do you got Tom Brady's, Drew Brees on the tail end of, you know, more than Hall of Fame careers. You've got Pat Mahomes and the Jared Goffs of the world that are just blowing it up.
Yeah, Tony, thanks for the phone call. You just hit the nail on the head there at the end of it. Quarterback play is better than it was 3 years ago. That's when you were seeing a lot more 12-9, 15-9 kind of things. And Patrick Mahomes, the Jared Goff, all those are guys are starting. Even, you know, we'll get back here on the other side. Even Mitch Trubisky and Deshaun Watson, you don't play him in fantasy football. But guess what? All they do is win games. So, Diesel, I'm having some printer issues over here. I was wondering if you could give me some help because we had this like really strange number, and I can see what's being called into the studio. Levy's Pharmacy, and it was area code 718. And I'm like, I can't wait to hear what this is about. Diesel answers some phone. I got questions on a warranty on a printer I bought. Sorry, you got the wrong number. All right, guys, Turkey Day is Thursday. How many of y'all have to do more than one big meal?
Yeah, multiples. I have to go to one set of grandparents for lunch, one set at night. So I don't want to eat for the next like 4 days after that.
Usually. Yeah, see, we're doing My in-laws, we're going to have brunch on Thursday morning and draw names for our Christmas stockings and all. And then they've got a bigger Thanksgiving to go to. And we have my family's Thanksgiving. So it's not two huge ones, you know what I mean? But what's your go-to? What is your absolute go-to thing that either your mom, your grandmother makes that you have to have every single Thanksgiving?
Turkey.
I'm a turkey, but I need spiral sliced ham as well.
Okay, I'm always been a big corn casserole guy.
Okay,
that's kind of
my mom made a sweet potato casserole with a praline topping on it, and I'm not a big sweet potato guy, but dude, that was eating like dessert back in the day. But mine now is my wife's.
Suck
we
up.
Just call it.
Suck
no.
up. Just go ahead and do it now.
No, you got. You'll love
Diesel,
the name.
Go ahead and clip this to Senator Teresa.
You'll
later.
Love the. You'll love the name of this. Heart Attack on a Plate Mashed Potatoes. I mean, how do you not love that name? Heart Attack on a Plate Mashed Potatoes. These are the most unhealthy things that you will eat once a year, and they're absolutely next level. Well, guess what? To all our listeners out there. Don't eat healthy this weekend, which means scrap all salads. And here's why: the CDC just put out. Throw away any romaine lettuce that has been purchased. Restaurants should not serve it. Stores should not sell it. And people should not buy it, no matter where or when the lettuce was grown. All romaine should be avoided. Well, guess what? For this weekend, it could happen to iceberg lettuce. It could happen to other types of lettuce. So I just found out I can have more mac and cheese, Heart Attack on a Plate, mashed potatoes, even more turkey and ham. Ain't touching no salad. Now that the CDC has said, throw it away. Nope, just rather be safe than sorry. You buying what I'm selling?
I love it. You know, so we actually had our sales team Thanksgiving lunch today. We all went over to a Green Tomato Buffet. So I was like, I'll start off with a nice salad here and really get the meal started right. And I was like, you know what? I don't want salad right now. So I just went straight for the main courses there, and luckily that really paid off for me. Apparently, look at some of these tweets we're seeing now.
Yeah, exactly. What is butter lettuce? Somebody just sent me a text that says butter lettuce is better anyway. As far as I know,
sounds made up. I don't
know. Put butter on anything and it will taste better. You know what I mean? So so be careful out there. All right, you say that if you have nothing better to do come Friday night that you may actually fork out $19.99 to watch Tiger versus Phil pay-per-view?
Yeah, I would love to see Tiger whip Phil's butt Friday night.
I can think let me think of the five things I'd rather do Friday night than watch Phil. First of all, pay $20 to watch Phil versus Tiger. There's probably the biggest the biggest part of it. Cheapskate doesn't want to pay $20 for anything. Number two, I would rather, let's see, eat a full plate of leftovers from already eating all day on Thursday than watch this. I'd rather go Black Friday shopping on Woodruff Road with Woodruff Road traffic than watch Tiger versus Phil Friday night. Why? Because it is rivalry weekend, and we got good football action Friday night.
I will tell you, we've got the first side bet of the match already. Phil opens the action with a $100,000 bet that he'll birdie the opening hole. Tiger says double it, so here we go.
See,
we're off and running already, Sturge.
I can't even fathom this. We can't even crap talk other people on the golf course. You and I, we've been out and played Legacy Pines. And, oh, by the way, you did open with a birdie that time,
That's
did you
true.
Not?
Yeah. Actually, an eagle, if you want to get it right.
Oh, an eagle. Okay. So my point being, I can't even fathom what a $100,000 side. So that just makes the whole thing kind of a moot point. You know what I mean? That's money that. It's not even in our neighborhood. And the fact that, you know, I hope at the end of this event, you know, whoever wins the $9 million just goes, hey, here is to Make-A-Wish Foundation or whoever. Because here are guys that don't need $9 million. And the reason they don't, they can afford to do $100,000 side bets on the birdie in the first hole.
I really am excited for this. I mean, you know, I used to love watching the duel at Doral. You know, I think Tiger played Duval a couple times. They got Annika Sorenstam involved. You know, it's surprising it's taking this long to get something like this come back, but I hope this kind of starts a series of these. Maybe see Tiger against, you know, Spieth or Dustin against Ricky or some kind of, you know, some big matchups here and there to keep this thing
rolling.
But
let's go back and bring it back to Shell, the wonderful world of golf. Do you remember that back in the day? Where do that and put it on television. I don't need to pay $20. $100,000 on the first hole, I don't even have a clue.
Well, I think part of this, too, for the reason being pay-per-view, is they're going to be able to do a little more trash talking, a little more colorful language here and there. Because I think they're going to have these guys mic'd up throughout the whole round, I believe.
Yeah, that's what they want with a bunch of corporate dollars out there. So, anyway, it's going to be interesting. Well, see, I'd rather watch NBA action on Friday night. Which, by the way, I hear the Charlotte Hornets have reached out to the Washington Wizards about Bradley Beal. I think that would be a nice pickup right
Kimba
now.
Kimba needs some help. That guy's carrying the team
Good
over there.
God, what, 100 points or so in the last two games, and they only go 1-1? So, anyway, 844-GSP-ESPN. Speaking of what I'll be doing Friday night, instead of watching Tiger and Phil, we'll start getting into our college football games of the weekend. So, Kevin Thomas, you can give him a follow at K_Mart10. You can follow Sports Talk's most decent producer at Diesel on Radio, me at Sturgis Sports, and you can get in with us on the text line at 71307, the Health Dare text line. Just put ESPN at the front of the text. But you were mentioning a couple of the side bets going on. And number one, you mentioned one of the side bets is, will Tiger wear red? Absolutely he will, or he's not taking this seriously. Why the hell should you spend $19.99 on a pay-per-view if Tiger's not going to wear his signature color and be serious about it?
I mean, he may not just, you know, think of Phil as that much of a threat, like, in all honesty. You know, I don't know if you watched much of Phil down the stretch of the PGA season, but it was not good.
See, I would think the better side bet is something like who drops the first F-bomb, you know, something like that. You know, who needles the opponent first, something along those lines. But, no, a couple of things I'll be doing Friday night. Number one, I'll be getting ready for Ingalls College football today at 2 p.m. on Saturday on our sister station, 93.3, the Planet Rocks, me and GMAC at 2 p.m. ahead of the Clemson-South Carolina game. But I'll be watching at 8 p.m. on ESPN, Oklahoma, West Virginia. I mean, this has got last night's L.A. Rams, Kansas City Chiefs game written all over. Don't get, like Delvin said, don't get up and go to the refrigerator. You might miss a couple of scores and everything else. And, you know, I seriously doubt Texas will stumble with Kansas, even though Kansas put up 40 points on Oklahoma. So, fortunately, we aren't going to see a rematch. But I get the fact that Oklahoma survived Oklahoma State on a failed two-point conversion, and West Virginia, you know, fell at Oklahoma State 45-41. I just think West Virginia's the better of these two teams, even though they got two losses versus one.
Yeah, it just seems like Oklahoma has really, you know, skated by maybe a few more times than West Virginia has. You know, that Army game early in the year, Oklahoma had problems with. You just mentioned Kansas last week. Well, I feel like, you know, maybe West Virginia has just seemed like a more complete team. Obviously, neither one of their defenses is great. But I feel like I like the Mountaineers a little bit better on that side of the ball. They feel like a little bit of a more complete team.
I mean, listen, that will be a loud Pullen Misker Stadium on Friday night in Morgantown, West Virginia. And, of course, we'll see how Kyler Murray handles that type of road environment because, I mean, outside of the Texas game, which is split, you know, 50-50, this will be the worst let's just say it like it is. This will be the worst environment in which he goes into all year.
Yeah, you know, that's a place I've always wanted to go to a game, but I would not go to a game if I was cheering for the away team. Let me go to just like a non, you know, a game I have no skin in. That's where I don't want to go, to Morgantown. But yeah, that'll be a whale of a ball game.
Come on, man. You know what? I can see you buying some new furniture here as you as you're making your way up into young professional, and we can just tie it onto the back of the car and we can go burn that couch in Morgantown and feel like any other West Virginia.
There we go. I mean, you know, what better way to celebrate than burning some nice furniture?
I never understood that. All right. Also, can I give you another reason I'm not watching Tiger and Phil on Friday night?
Yeah.
At 8:30 on Fox, the 111th Apple Cup is going to determine who the Pac-12 North champion is going to be. And that's the exact same scenario as it took place back in 2016 when Washington rolled to a 45-17 win, ended up making an appearance in the college football playoff. But Mike Leach, you know, I've been wrong, you know. This is not going to go back and be the most exciting, memorable college football season of all time. Is that fair?
Yeah.
So I really had to go out on a limb to make some points or to try to get things going. And I made a comment a month ago, 6 weeks ago, when it comes to Washington State, I wasn't convinced under Mike Leach if they could go out there and win a game 17-7. Turns out they can.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and what's tough, people don't realize that because people don't watch Washington State. You know, I know it's part of the Pac-12 issues, they're on so late, the East Coast doesn't watch them. But people haven't realized that they play a little bit of defense up there in Pullman for sure.
First time that I can remember in a long, long time. So, that's a big ball game because Washington State, I think Gardner Minshew is going to be one of the three finalists in New York for the Heisman Trophy. I think you're probably looking at Tua, Kyler Murray, Gardner Minshew. I'd love to see one running back in that mix, but I don't think you can put Jonathan Taylor in there.
No, that team's been too bad.
And ETN just doesn't have enough you know, rushes and things of that nature to be invited. So I think it's going to be a three-headed quarterback race. And, you know, so that's going to be a fascinating ballgame. They're not out of it by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, the biggest thing about tonight is the college football playoff poll's going to come out. And I mean, do you really think this thing's going to end up chalk here over the next couple of weeks? Because you're going to see Bama 1, Clemson 2, Notre Dame 3, and Michigan 4 tonight. I have no fear about it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, what's going to happen to change any of that? You know, unless one of these teams plays a terrible game, you know, I mean, obviously Bama is way better than Auburn. Clemson's way better than Carolina. Notre Dame's way better than USC. Michigan is playing a lot better than Ohio State, maybe not talent-wise, but they are playing a lot better. So, I mean, unless one of those teams has a terrible game, I mean, you're not going to see anything change here in the next week or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, but, you know, you look in that top four this past weekend, and hands down, Notre Dame had the most impressive performance, 36-3 over Syracuse. So I just don't see the shakeup. I have a hard time looking at a team that has given up 48 to Texas in a loss, went to overtime with Army, and it is a AP-ranked Army team, but also gave up 40 to Kansas this past week, gave up 41 the previous week to Oklahoma State. I can't sit there, and I hope my brother-in-law's not listening, I can't sit there and view them as a legitimate top 10 team because at some point in time, you got to make a stop.
Yeah, like you said, they can score on anybody, but can they stop anybody? It's going to be the issue.
I don't know how. First of all, my brother-in-law's older than me, okay. All right? So Mother Nature has taken over a little bit when it comes to hair. He may have a couple of inches on me. I've got a couple inches when it comes to hair length. You know what I mean? I don't understand how that man's not 110 pounds with the fear and shaking that must go on the last couple of years in Oklahoma trying to close out a football game. I mean, it's never over.
No.
Both ways.
Yeah.
So, wow. All right. So you watch Tiger Phil. I'll text you updates of Oklahoma, West Virginia, and Washington, Washington State. And Diesel will probably ask you how he can get logged in on his Roku. So, all right. When we come back here at the top of the hour, Gary McDaniel from ClemsonSportsNews.com. He has covered all the Tuesday press conferences for us with Coach Dabo Swinney, and as well as the players' interviews that they do today as well. Probably, you know, there was a lot of talk about the South Carolina game, but there was a lot of talk today. It was Dabo Swinney's 49th birthday today. So I've got the first question to Gary McDaniel is going to be, how many of those cupcakes and what flavor were they that were sent into the media for Dabo Swinney's birthday today? Then after that, we'll have open phones. We'll take a look at the NFL, take a look at some standings. What's ahead for the NFC South? Because Kevin Thomas is an unabashed Atlanta Falcons fan. How bad is it going to hurt, you know, probably, what, the end of January or early February when the New Orleans Saints raise a Super Bowl trophy in the home of the Atlanta Falcons? Because people don't remember back in the day before expansion went on, New Orleans and Atlanta was an old school hardcore NFL rivalry. So I think the Falcons are toast. I think the Panthers are toast. Now, Panthers can at least get into playoff consideration in the wild card, but I don't care what you say about that ball game last night. The best team in the NFL right now, the New Orleans Saints. But first, we'll get a catch-up with Gary McDaniel. Of course, you can follow them on Twitter at Clem Sports News, ClemsonSportsNews.com. Dabo Swinney's press conference ahead of Saturday night's ball game with the South Carolina Gamecocks.